All right. Y'all ready to get into this? I hope so. All right. So, everybody love me? It's like, I don't even know you. All right. We're going to be talking about healing tonight. So, which is, can be a little controversial. And I hope I bring some clarity to you guys. So tonight's message is called Visually Impaired. Visually Impaired. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we see and how we see. See, healing is, if we were truthful, it's probably the most controversial topic in the body of Christ today. And we've got several ditches and several streams about it. You know, some people don't believe in it at all. They believe that it's something that used to happen in the days of Jesus, and now that Jesus and his apostles have passed away, that healing doesn't happen anymore. That's a view. Some people believe it's God's will to heal some and not his will to heal others. You know, and some people believe that it's God's will to heal everyone. Everyone. Let's look at John 3:3. This is the Passion Translation. I don't have a copy of that with me, so we're going to use the screen tonight. Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, they must first experience a rebirth." The key word in there is perceive. Perceive. When you perceive something, you are seeing something in here, in your mind. Your mind is so key. A lot of things happen. A lot of things are going on up here. A lot of things. And I want to be able to perceive the kingdom of God everywhere I go and in everything that I do. When Jesus came, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. He says, listen, for some of you guys, it's come real close, but you didn't quite see it. Right? I want to be one who sees it. So this topic of healing can be controversial. Why? Why is it so controversial? What's the deal? How many of you in here have prayed for someone to be healed and they were not healed? Anybody? How many of you have prayed for Sally and she lived, and you prayed for Billy and he died? Right here. See, what can happen in our mind when we pray for someone and we don't see what we're believing for, things happen in our mind like it didn't work. Right? Guess I didn't have enough faith. Must not have been God's will. Well, if God really loved me, if God really loved them, you ever had a thought like that? I think we all probably have. I know I have. You see, if we're not careful, we'll allow our minds to try, our minds will try to make intellectual sense out of why it didn't happen. And what will happen is we will override the truth with our experience. Did you hear that? See, we try to reason our way into an excuse or a reason of why that didn't happen. And what we'll do, if we're not careful, we'll override the truth and say, well, you know, it didn't happen because of this, or it didn't happen because of that, or they didn't have enough faith, or I didn't have enough faith, or, and then we'll just play that game in our mind over and over and over again. How many of y'all seen the books? You know, 20 reasons why you haven't received your healing yet. 30 reasons why you have. Listen, Jesus didn't have that book. Why do we? You know, Jesus didn't pull out of his robe, well, you're full of unbelief, sir. Was Jesus full of unbelief? No. One in faith's the majority. And we think that someone's unbelief can cancel out what we're doing in faith. That's kind of high-minded, isn't it? I told y'all, y'all better get ready. We cannot let our experiences override truth. Because just like we just seen, everybody in here said you've prayed for someone and you didn't see them healed, but you have prayed for people and you've seen them healed. So here's the deal. Is the word of God true? And then all of a sudden it's not when they're not healed? What's the deal? It's still true. So did Jesus say, sorry, it's not your time. Come back tomorrow. Do we ever see him say that in the word? Do we ever see something like him saying, you need more faith. Come back when you get more faith. Did Jesus ever say that? Yeah, it's just not my dad's will for you to be healed. Sorry. Never said it. But have Christians said those things? Yeah. We write books. We do seminars. Right? Because if we can come up with an excuse, it makes us feel better, right? If we can come up for a reason why it didn't happen, what makes us feel better? I know, it's the truth, though. It's the truth. Human intellect and reasoning apart from God's word in relationship without him, if we're using our human intellect to reason and to think things out apart from God and his word, we'll come up with the wrong answer every time. And a lot of times what people do is, apart from God, apart from his word, they try to figure things out of why this didn't happen, and they always come up with the wrong answer, and it always trumps truth. It makes truth like of none effect because they've left out truth to begin with. I know it's quiet. It's okay. We're going somewhere. We are going somewhere. We cannot allow life to determine who God is and what his truth is. See, some people, how they're doing is how life is treating them. So if life's going good, they're doing good. If life's going bad, they're doing bad. So life has become their God. Right? Life is their Lord. Because life is telling them how to act. Life is telling them you should be sad. Life is telling them you should be this way and that way. It's just a lie of the enemy. It's a trick of the devil. It's bait to try to get you to elevate something above God's word, elevate something above who he is. And then what do? We have excuses and we have stories. And then what do? We compare our stories with each other. Well, I had it worse than you had it. And you know what happens? Everybody stays right where they're at. Nobody gets changed. Nobody gets delivered. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not a good place to be. We think it is. We call it ministry sometimes. Oh, come down and tell me your story. Listen, your story is not your story anymore. His story is your story. His story is the only thing that matters. And we think if we share our stories and tell how horrible we had it, that somehow that'll make us free. And listen, if that person that's listening to that story doesn't tell you the truth, you're never getting out of that. If they go, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. And here's the deal. I understand. I'm sorry that you had a hard time. I will cry with you. I will laugh with you, whatever I need to do. But here's the deal. We can't wallow in that. We can't. Because we're elevating that thing above his word. We're elevating our situation above the truth of God, and we're saying it's more powerful. We're really saying Jesus isn't enough. I need something else. Right? Whew. We cannot allow life to define who God is and what his truth is. Jesus already did that. Jesus already did that. Check this out. John 14, 9 through 10. John 14, 9 through 10. Very familiar verse. I bet you most people have heard this verse even people that don't attend church a lot, they've probably heard this before. John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" So let's think about this. If we want to know God's will, who do we look at? Jesus. If we don't find it in Jesus, then we shouldn't find it in our lives. Correct? Right? So Jesus is the standard. And listen, Jesus never held back healing from anyone. Not one time. Where did he get that from? His Father, who's in heaven. Right? That's where he got it from. So if we want to know the will of God, who do we look to? The one who walked out the will of God perfectly. His name is Jesus. Amen? Yeah. We are quiet. It's okay, though, because when you're quiet, I believe you're thinking. And I want you to think. Let's go to Matthew 17. Let's get into this. Matthew 17. We're going to look at a story. Now, listen, Jesus, he sends out his disciples, and he gives them the authority, heal the sick, you know, cleanse the leper, all these things, blind eyes open, cast out devils in my name. And they do it. They go out and they are doing this and they are having a great time. In one of the stories, they're even rejoicing. And Jesus kind of says, "Hey, you know, that's awesome and all, but just you need to be thankful that you belong to me," basically what he said. "That your name's written in the book of life." But they're having a good time. And then something happens. Matthew 17, verse 14. "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him," talking about Jesus, "came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.'" So I want you to think about this. The disciples prayed for a man to be healed, and he wasn't healed. Sound familiar? Ever have that happen in your life? "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?'" That had to hurt. Come on, teacher, you're supposed to help us. You're supposed to go, "Oh, it's okay, guys. Everybody has a bad day." Well, yeah, we have bad days, but we don't let that rule us. Now, he didn't cut him any slack. "How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out? How come when we prayed, he wasn't healed?" Right? Isn't that what they're asking? He says, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And then he goes in, however, this kind of does not come out except by prayer and fasting. I know a lot of people think that that's talking about the demon. It's talking about unbelief. This kind of unbelief does not come out by prayer and fasting. We're not going to talk about fasting today. But we are going to talk about this story and what happened here. So basically what's going on here is the disciples prayed for a person. They could not heal him. They go to Jesus and they say, "Hey, man, you spoke the word, boom, he's healed. How come we couldn't do that?" Now, if you get real deep and you study this out, this is literally what Jesus told them. He said, "It's because you don't see what I see. you don't see like I see. And it's interesting, he uses a couple words here. He says perverse generation. Now when we hear the word perverse or perverted, most people's mind automatically goes to sexual things. You know, someone who's peeping through the window, you know, that's a pervert, right? That's the kind of way we use that word. But that's not what it means here. Perverse means twisted thinking. Yeah. Twisted thinking. He said, you people have twisted thinking. And because of your twisted thinking, it causes unbelief in your heart. And it causes you not to see the way I see. Wow. Wow. Wrong thinking is perverted thinking. And it will cause unbelief in your life every single time. Every single time. So what caused the disciples to not see what Jesus saw? What caused them to do that? If you read this story, this boy's an epileptic. The story is also in the book of Mark. And this boy, he threw a violent fit. He manifests, this demon manifests and it throws a fit. And the disciples, with their natural eyes, saw this boy throwing a fit and they couldn't do nothing about it. How many times have you gone to pray for someone and you go in there and you look at that person in the hospital bed and they don't look like anything you remember? And then all of a sudden what? You get to, oh my gosh, they look horrible. Oh my gosh, they're so far gone. How many times have you prayed for your darling little baby? The fever would go and it doesn't go. And then what happens? Oh, this just isn't working. Because of what you've seen with your natural eyes. And what they saw with their natural eyes caused them to go from faith to unbelief. Because listen, before that, they were casting out devils. Before that, they were healing people. Then they see something they don't like with their natural eyes, and unbelief rises up in their heart. They had an experience that didn't go their way, and they elevated that experience above truth. And they could not heal the boy. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. You have no authority over what you fear. None. No authority. I have no authority over what I fear. And the devil will throw things at you guys to get you to see things with your natural eyes that will cause fear in your heart so that unbelief will rise and render you ineffective. You've done it. I have done it. You know, I've been in the hospital room and watched the relative that doesn't look right. And they say there's no hope. And I look at him and I say, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do. And fear was in me. They're gone. I was rendered ineffective. Totally ineffective. It's a tough word. I understand it's a tough word. But it's the truth. We have to be careful about what we see with our natural eyes. Because sometimes when we see things and they don't look good, fear will creep in. Listen, if Jesus walked in the room and touched the sick person, let's say there's someone in the hospital, they're dying, there's nothing we do, and Jesus walked in and touched that person, would they be healed? Nobody in here would contest that, right? If Jesus walked in and touched them, they would be healed. And I hear people say all the time, well, I'm not Jesus. Read your Bible. No, you are not Jesus, but he lives inside of you. And see, we have this disconnect sometimes. We think that, oh, well, you know, the Jesus that lives inside of me is almost different than the Jesus that walked the earth. But we read scripture that says he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So Jesus didn't change. So Jesus lives in me. Galatians 2:20. I love Galatians 2:20. And there's a ton of scriptures. But we're just going to look at a few real quick, because I don't have a ton of time, and I'm trying to stretch this into, you know, a series. So if I go too long, I'll use up all my notes, right? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Also, one of my favorites is Colossians 1:27. It says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wait a minute, Christ is in you. So when we go to pray for someone, is it like Jesus coming into the room? Yeah. Yes. So what's the deal? How come everybody is not healed when we lay hands on them? We're the body of Christ. I have these questions. I'm not going to lie. I've wrestled with these things. Why doesn't it happen? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse, we'll start in 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Oh, that's good. Guys, pastors are not doing the work of the ministry. We all are. Amen. And if we sit there and say it's the pastor's job, you're not reading the word. Okay? He didn't just put the Holy Spirit in us pastors. He didn't just give the pastors gifts. Everybody has gifts. So listen. We've been equipped for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceit, plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, into him who is the head of the body. Let me ask you a question. Have you grown up into all things, into him? Have you? I haven't. I have not. Do I want to? Am I heading that way? Yes. But have I reached that? No. Have I arrived? No. Here's the deal. I pray for someone and I don't see it. Is it God's will for that person to be healed? Yes. It is God's will for that person to be healed. But guess what? I may not be at that place yet. And instead of me going, oh, well, it's not God's will. It wasn't their time. All these different things. Instead of that, you need to humble yourself and run to the Father. You need to humble yourself and say, grow me, Lord, into the place where I look like Jesus. Because I can tell you right now, nobody in here looks 100% like Jesus. We're all at different levels. And when we pray for someone and we don't get the results that we want, we can't start raising that experience above the truth and say, well, it must have not been God's will. What we need to say is, listen, Lord, I don't know what happened. I don't understand, but grow me up more into you so that I can look more like you, because I know if you walked in the room, they would have been healed. They would have been healed. Father, I don't see like you see 100% yet. And when I prayed for them, there had to be something that I did not see. That's humbling ourselves and saying, Father, I didn't see nothing. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let one failure totally cancel out everything else I'm going to do and just throw my hands up in the air and say, this is not for today. I'm going to say, Father, I need to grow up in you and I need to see like you. So in your intimate time, what are we praying? Father, help me see like you see. Because if I see like you see,
they would get up. If I see like you see, they would be healed. Guys, we haven't arrived yet. We don't have all the answers. People get born again and they do nothing with their lives. I've seen it. I've been a pastor for 22 years. Been a Christian since I was 8 years old. I've been in denominational churches. We see people, they get born again and they do nothing with their lives. They never grow. They always want someone else. And then one tragedy happens. Then they go, well, let's go pray. And then, why didn't it happen? Why didn't nothing happen? Because you haven't been growing up into him. And now you're expecting a miracle in a place where you've never sown. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're microwave. We want just instant. Bam, bam. Well, I prayed, God. I used your word. I used your name. How come you didn't heal them? Do you know how arrogant that is? Do you know how prideful that is? That's very arrogant and prideful to say, well, I did this and I did that, God, and where are you at? Instead of humbling yourself and saying, listen, I know it's your will. I must have missed something. I know it's your will. I'm not seeing quite right like I need to see. And you get before him and you get on your face and you say, help me see like you see. Help me love like you love. And then what do? You go to the next person. And the next person. Transform me, Lord, until I look like you look. Right? See, Christianity is not about Jesus coming down and taking us all to heaven. It's not. He mentions heaven 3 times. We've turned the gospel into say a prayer and go to heaven. It has nothing to do with that. Jesus did not come and die just because you were a worthless sinner. He came and he died for you because he's seen worth and value. He's seen lost sons and lost daughters, and he wanted to redeem you back into the original picture. Why? So you could sit there and do nothing? No, he changes your motives. He changes your heart. He pulls you back into the original picture. Why? So that you'll be a warrior for him. You know, and we sing songs like, oh, I got a mansion on a hilltop. Right? When we all get to heaven. And listen, I don't have time to preach on it. You can read your Bible. When you go to heaven, you're not staying there. Do you know that? There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And when the eastern sky splits, you're coming out of heaven back to earth. I can show you the scriptures. We get so caught up in heaven, we forget our job. We forget that he bought and paid for your life, not just so you can go to heaven, but so that you could have an intimate relationship with him. Yes, so that you would look like him, so that you would bring the kingdom, and you would see like he sees, so that you could what? Bring what he wants to bring. The kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Anybody know what the kingdom of God is? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, we got to be bringing that. Listen, don't go change your theology just because of a bad experience. We've got to change our perspective. We have to destroy twisted thinking. And if we would really examine ourselves and be honest, not mean, not rude, no, I'm not trying to be mean or rude to anybody. If you would be honest with yourself, we would all say that we have twisted thinking. If we didn't, then we would be perfect and complete in him, and we just, I mean, we're all growing. All of us are growing. But we have to change our perspective, and we have to destroy twisted thinking. How do we do that? We live a life of repentance. What does repentance mean? I was taught growing up that repentance was you come to the front and you cry your eyes out because you're sorry for everything that you've done. That's not repentance. Repentance literally means to change the way you think. So I thought twisted, and I see the way God thinks. I stop thinking this way, and I start thinking the way he thinks. That's true repentance. How many of you guys agree with everything in the Bible? I want to, but you don't. I don't. I read that, I go, no, God, no. What happens? I have to repent. I have to change the way I think and start thinking the way he thinks. And sometimes that is a process. I have to destroy that twisted thinking. Destroy it. Why? So that I can see like he sees and stop seeing the way I see. Because most of the time I see with my natural eyes and I let things get to me and affect me and create unbelief in me. Amen? Faith. Do you know the primary use of faith is not a tool to get blessings? It's a perspective. We don't use faith just to get blessings. People do that. Well, I got to have faith to get this new car. I got to have faith to get this new job. I got to have faith to get what's coming to me. That's not what faith is for. Guys, faith is a perspective. Faith is a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. It's believing in the word. It's believing what he said. There's, guys, we all should have a faith perspective. A faith perspective. The perspective of faith causes us to pray from a position of covenant, confidence, and belief instead of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Yeah. See, the enemy, he's pretty smart. I don't like to give him too much credit. But he messes with us, guys, and he tries to get us to take the bait. Little Sally gets cancer. What do we do? How do we handle that? Little Sally, when she walks down the road, the flowers bloom. And it's almost like he could hear a song, and she's got two beautiful children and a loving husband. But she's got cancer. Doctor said she's not going to make it. Whew. You know, a lot of us will, out of fear, we'll get on the prayer chain. And we got to tell everybody. Because if more people are praying, but what's the motive behind that? Is it fear? Oh, not little Sally. No, it couldn't be Sally. Oh, did you hear? Oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. It's fear driven. It's out of the wrong motive. We've all done it. It's not the way. Listen, one in faith is a majority. Yeah. One in faith is a majority. One. We give the devil too much credit. Too much credit. If we're going to call the prayer chain, yeah, we're going to tell people that are not praying out of fear. That are not praying out of, oh my gosh, how could this happen? Because then the devil has you. Now listen, is that easy? No, that's not easy. That's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes, you know what we have to do, guys? We all have to do this. We have to gather ourselves. We have to take and say, oh my gosh, this happened, and just take a minute and just be like, okay, wait a minute. Where do I stand here? What's going on here? Is my heart right here? You got to get in that mindset. Because fear will render you useless. It will. Fear is our enemy, guys. It is our enemy. I want to look at a couple things here. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. Well, that's maybe a little heavy for Wednesday night, but I think if you would get this, change your life. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I like this. I like 2 Corinthians better than 1st. I'm getting the right book. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all of the promises of God in him are what? Yes. And in him, amen. Now, a lot of times we quote that and we stop right there. Because it feels good and it's a good verse, right? And it's true. But let's read the other part because it'll make you feel even better. To the glory of God through us. Yes. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Listen, the promises are achieved through God's people. Yes. They're through you and I. Promises of healing. Listen, it's when you lay hands on the sick, when you operate in faith, when you operate in covenant. And confidence. It's through us. The promises. Okay. Just keep going. Just keep going a little bit. I love this. Ephesians 3:20. How many of you ever heard someone, and I'm not bashing anybody, I'm not making fun of anybody, but have you ever heard of someone, man, I want to be anointed. I want the anointing. I want the, anoint me, God. And they go to services and they, if the pastor will lay hands on me and pray for me, I'll get that anointing. I want to show you something. And you should shout about this, by the way. Ooh, so good. Where am I at here? Ephesians 3:20. Sorry, I've got everything marked up here. It's hard to see sometimes. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us. What is that power? Ooh. Well, let's go back. What did we read a while ago? We read 2 Corinthians 1:20. Let's read a little bit more on that. It'll tell you what that power is. Right? All the promises are yes and amen in him to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God. Are you anointed? You are anointed. You do not need a pastor to lay hands on you to anoint you. You do not need anybody to lay hands on you to anoint you. That right there says that Jesus Christ has anointed you. When you gave your life to him, you are anointed. And you can do what he does and do what he did. Even though it may be a process and we're learning how to see like he sees. You're anointed. Here's the deal though. Do you believe that? See, that's the deal right there, because the devil's going to come and try to, well, you prayed for that person and nothing happened, so you must not have the anointing. That's not true. Listen, healing is not a magic formula. Healing is not a magic formula. I don't know how many books we got. If you do this, this, and this, you'll be healed. Because I did this, this, and this, and I got healed. Listen, it's not a formula. It's a revelation. It is a revelation. You have to know him to get a revelation. Are y'all with me? All of us are anointed. Everybody in here that's called upon the name of Jesus, he lives inside of you. All of us have the potential to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And if we don't, we have the one who knows the answers, and we can run to him and grow into him more so that next time we go, we can see more people healed and more people healed until we get this thing down. Amen? Listen.
I may not do that. Not yet.
How many of you in here has received a healing before? Anybody ever been healed? That's awesome. Isn't it funny how people don't believe in healing? If they really thought about it, they just call all of us liars. Think about it. Oh, healing's not real. That's not of God. Well, I got healed. I've been healed. You've been healed. Are we crazy? Maybe we are. We're not crazy. We're not crazy. We're absolutely not crazy. Most of the time, people that are against healing, guys, have never prayed for anybody, or they did it once and it didn't work for them, or they perceived that it didn't work. It's not a formula, guys. It's not abracadabra. Man, I've got a lot of notes, and I'm over time. If you dare to come back next week, we've got some other things we need to talk about, we need to get into. Because there's a lot of funny things out there about healing. And I want to squish those things. I want you to know, guys, that God lives in you. And you have the potential to lay hands on anyone and see them recover. You have the potential to see miracles. And when they don't happen, don't elevate that bad experience above truth. Yes. It is okay to say, I don't know why that didn't happen. It is okay. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
You may come to me and say, hey, my granny died and we prayed for her every day. And I can say, you know what? I had an uncle that was like a brother to me. We prayed for him all the time and he died. So don't tell me, don't come and tell me that I don't know. You know what? Though we've seen him healed and then it come back and why, God? Wrong question. Wrong question. See, we get caught up and then the devil gets us and they're fighting amongst themselves. It's the wrong question. You go to God and you say, I don't like this. Help me see. Help me see. Right? Because listen, I get tired of people getting sick. I get tired of praying for my daughter when she's sick and nothing happens. But the instant I say, well, it didn't work, must not have been God. I've just elevated my experience up here and put his truth down here. Instead of flipping and saying, God, I don't know everything. I don't know why, Father. Help me see like you do. I know if you walked in this room and you laid hands on them, they would be healed. You live in me. Right?
Yes.
So help me see what I'm missing. Help me grow up into you more so I'll be more effective. Help me grow up into you so that I can bring your kingdom even better. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Now listen. Listen. Here in a minute, we're going to pray. And there's going to be, hopefully, if I didn't run everybody off, there's going to be some people up here that are going to pray for you. And listen, if you need healing, don't you walk out that door and saying, oh, they've prayed for me before. Never give up. Don't you ever give up and give in. Never. Don't do it. You come up here and let them pray for you, and you let them believe, and you say, well, I don't know if I believe. They do, and that's enough. Amen? And then next week, listen, we're going to do something really cool next week. If you'll come back, if you'll humor me and come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some things, get a little bit more understanding and revelation, and then we're going to do something really cool. Can we do that? Y'all stand on your feet. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you that you are patient with us. I thank you that you trust us with your word. You trust us with your power. Father, that it's not just you up there doing everything, controlling everything, that you involve your people, you involve your sons and your daughters, that you live inside of us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you want to do things in and through us. And Father, I pray that if anybody in here is discouraged tonight about, well, I prayed and it didn't work, or I prayed for them and I didn't see nothing, Father, that man, tonight would be the night where they change the way they think. They would change the way they think, Father. They would take those thoughts captive and bring them under the obedience of Jesus Christ. And they would never give up. They would never stop praying for their friends and family. They would never stop praying for even strangers. They would maybe even never stop praying for themselves if they need healing. Never. Because we're going to settle it in our heart that your will is for everyone to be healed. It is your will. And when we don't see it, Father, I pray we would settle in our heart. We're not going to raise that experience above truth. We're going to say, I know what the word says and I know your truth. Don't know why I didn't see it, but I'm going to get closer to God and we're going to find out. Father, if there's someone in here tonight that needs healing, Father, we believe tonight they will receive that healing. We believe that. And I pray they would have the faith and the boldness to come forward and receive prayer. Father, you're so good to us. So good to us. Father, as we go, I pray that we would shine forth your light and bring your kingdom everywhere we go, everywhere our foot steps. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. If you need prayer, please come down. And we'll see you guys next week.